Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Well, assalamu alaikum, sawbona, greetings, and of course, for our Korean viewers, annyeonghaseyo, I'm Naima Latif. And we are live here in South Korea, and we're going to be joining our American Muslim 360 family, and we'll be joined by a special guest here in South Korea as we are here in our last day of the Global Peace Summit, and we'll be talking about ways to bring peace despite the fear that has been created. And we're going to be bringing on our American Muslim 360 family, and we're inviting you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 so that we know you have something to say. And of course, as always, if you are able to watch us live on our YouTube and Facebook channel, The Female Solution, make sure you like and share our channel, as well as add your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. We appreciate all of you for joining us today, and we'll be bringing on our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and shortly joining our guest, who is also live here at Seoul, South Korea, for the 8th WPL Global Peace Summit. So we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. As always, we'll be right back. And we want you to be a part of this conversation because we are bringing world peace. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Back, and you are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and joining our co-host, Kareem Hamid, in just one moment. And we're also looking to join our guest today, who is with us live from South Korea. And we have an opportunity to change the world in which we live, and that's why we are here. And we want all of you to participate in this change because the world cannot continue as it has been. And we are so excited to be a part of the change. And I believe we are now joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and the American Muslim 360 family.
As-salamu alaykum, Naima.
Wa alaykum salam. And thank you for joining us for another exciting Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I think I mentioned it last week, but I don't know if our listeners and viewers remember that I am attending the Global Peace Summit here in South Korea, and we have had a chance on each of our shows this week to bring on some guests to get a flavor of the world community as we address the very important issues surrounding peace. And how do we create a society where we can all get along and respect each other's differences? So shortly, we're going to be joined by a guest, a brother that I met who he is one of the attendees here, one of the delegates here at the Global Peace Summit here in Seoul, South Korea. And we, of course, are those who have come as part of the media to spread the word. And we know that the greatest barrier to world peace is fear. Many Americans are still traumatized by the events of September 11, 2001, when four coordinated suicide attacks were carried out against the United States by a political extremist group known as Al-Qaeda. The United States, where a growing Muslim population was visibly adding to the rapidly increasing numbers of American-born Muslim converts, well, the U.S. shifted into paranoid fear about Islam. Muslims seen as something fearful and anything related to the religion of Islam was something that the mass media had connected to terrorism. So today, on this last day of the HWPL Global Peace Summit here in Seoul, South Korea, we're going to be talking to Senegalese-born Sheikh Moussa Drame, who's now a resident of New York City in the USA, and he lived in New York at the time of the 9/11 attack. When he saw the effects of the media repeatedly connecting Islam to terrorism, he sprang into action. And he formed the Muslim Media Corporation, which operates in both the U.S. and in Senegal, and widely circulates publications that promote the positive impact of Islam on our society. So he'll be joining us shortly, and of course, as one of the delegates to this Global Peace Summit and a member of the media, he is one of those that is being charged with bringing this message to the world, this message of peace, this message of harmony between the various religious communities, this message that we don't need to fear each other. And today we want to take a look at what we're continuing to experience in America, the aftermath of 9/11. Do Americans still fear Muslims as terrorists? Well, this is significant because many of us who raised our children in Islam, some of us who were converts might have been the first or the only in the family who are Muslim, and many of our family members were, at the time of the attacks, many of our family members were afraid before the attacks. And there's been so much disinformation about Islam. And then you do have political conflicts happening across the world, and most Americans have no clue about the origins of the conflict between Palestine and, the Palestinian Muslims and the Palestinian Jews. They have no knowledge of the history of why there's conflict or why there's so much anger. They have no knowledge of how the United States has taken sides in a way that has caused harm. They have no knowledge of why people were so angry that they felt that Americans were responsible for their suffering. And the 9/11 event created more confusion, especially because a Muslim face was put on acts of terrorism. And rather than understand the issues that are different than the religion of Islam, people just descended into fear. And our guest today, who, of course, born and raised in Senegal, where there is a large Muslim population, saw that there was much misinformation, misunderstandings about the religion and his children. Raising his children here, he knew he had to change what people were believing because naturally many children were in many ways being attacked in school, if not physically, certainly psychologically, by the fear, by the shunning, by the name calling and all kinds of things that children do when they hear adults attacking people. So he formed this media corporation, the Muslim Media Corporation, and they publish a number of publications both here and abroad, and he is here as part of the large core of journalists as well as educators, doctors, and lawyers, and other people of all walks of life, to look at how we can change the conditions that are preventing world peace. So this is our topic today, and as our guest prepares to join us, we invite our listeners to call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891 and press 1. When you have a comment to make, we will certainly get your comments. And we want to really open the eyes of Americans and have America be that real melting pot that it says it is when it comes to all religions, all faiths, but mostly to heal from that 9/11 event in a way that does not continue to castigate Islam as a problem. So, Kareem, I know that the American Muslim 360 channel is having an impact on educating. And one of the things I hope to do is to connect AM 360 with our brothers and sisters abroad to expand its reach. One thing about internet radio is it is worldwide. And there are many immigrant Muslims that were not aware that there is a large and growing indigenous Muslim population. And our experience has been different because in many ways we have our American flair to things, and also we're addressing the history that we've had of enslavement. Many of those who were brought here under the enslavement period were Muslims and had the connection to many of the very powerful progressive Muslim kingdoms and empires, the educational institutions, and a culture that encouraged education and intellectual pursuits and civil behavior. So there is a lot of that history that never made it to our history books that we know needs to be told to correct much of the disinformation, and also to emphasize that this is a spiritual path that was designed to create peace in the society. That's what this Global Peace Conference is all about today, or the last 3 days. And one of the ways that the chairman who initiated this organization, HWPL, one of the ways he began the process was having various religious groups have regular dialogue, and then he brought all the groups together in one big summit meeting. The World Alliance of Religions for Peace is what that first summit meeting was called, so that he could start with the religious community. If we can get all of the believers in a higher power, in a spiritual force that we have a responsibility to, if we can start with that foundation, then perhaps those groups can lead the way in creating world peace. That was his premise. And so for the last 9 years, there have been commemorations of that first World Alliance of Religions for Peace Summit, called the WARP Summit meeting. And much has grown out of that, documents, proposals, interactions. And what we've seen in these last few days is really what I would consider a heavenly culture, what HWPL stands for, a heavenly culture, world peace, restoration of light. It really has been a heavenly culture. We've seen people from all over the globe, many different languages, cultures, religions, sing in harmony. And there's just an air of love, compassion, kindness. He's built a magnificent organization which exemplifies that. And we know that we can take this same spirit and take it back to our communities, wherever they are in the world, and institute this same thing. But first we have to get over the fear, and that's what we're addressing today. And, of course, we're waiting our guest who's going to be joining us shortly and giving us some impact and some information on what it was like being in New York during the 9/11 attack and the level of hostility that perhaps he and his family and the Muslim community experienced after that attack. So what do you remember about that? Because I know that it was pretty intense here in Chicago on that day. What do you remember? And what were some of the things that those who were a part of the Muslim community that you are one of the leaders of, what are some of the ways they responded? Oh, my. Did we lose our connection?
Okay, I'm with you now.
Well, alaikum salam. Yeah. I had to do some creative things here with all my different devices. I was hoping I didn't lose you.
No, I had my mic on mute, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. As long as you heard what I said, because I said a bunch of stuff like, oh, do I have to repeat all that?
No, I heard you. Please, and we wish much success on the Global Peace Summit that's being held in Seoul, South Korea, and we are grateful that you are broadcasting, praise to Almighty God, this effort initiated by the Global Peace Summit Initiative, praise to Allah. The desire for all well-meaning people is to have world peace, to have world peace. A very laudable position to desire, to work toward, but we have to become familiar with one another and stop seeing each other as the other, the other.
Absolutely.
A different creature, you know. We're in a global environment now. We're communicating with each other globally or anywhere on the earth. And so we are connected. Technology has helped us connect with one another and an interchange of ideas, hopes, aspirations. And so we are really one community. Now, the earth, all of us, we're one community now.
Yeah.
And from that one community, inshallah, we will come to the realization that we are one people. We are one people. We are human beings. And there's so much we are that connects us, so many similarities that the human being has. I believe the real key of the effort is to bring mothers together, bring females together. And as they discuss the rearing of their children, they will see that they have the same goal, the same effort, and the same love for their children. That is a natural familiarity, is motherhood, and what they and how they love and care for their children. And as we know, all babies cry in one language.
That's right.
They don't cry in Korean or English. And also, human beings laugh in one language. So those are things that we have that we are familiar with. And also, the idea of parenting. You can ask any parent, what success do you want for your children? And usually, the answers are all the same. That they grow up to be a healthy, intelligent, well-developed human being. Human being. That's what we as humans are aiming at. And so that familiarity between mother and child and the connection of mother in this effort, I believe, will be a key part of establishing world peace. You know, a Mother's Day that we celebrate here in the United States, it started out, I can't remember her name, but there was a woman. woman, a mother, that began and established Mother's Day. She had witnessed the atrocity of war and how mothers were losing their children senselessly in war. So her and those with her, they put forth an effort to establish Mother's Day, whereby they spoke with one voice to bring about world peace. She, so that even at the onset of Mother's Day, it was a woman, it was women that brought that about. Someone had this name concerning the commercialism of Mother's Day, the commercialism of Mother's Day, but she wanted a dialogue to be had. And mothers could speak out with one voice to stop the wars, but save their children and their society. So we send our children to fight against each other. And war is hell. And so the voice of women is very much needed in this peace initiative, this universal. But usually it is men that it is men that start wars from a position of greed, dominance, power, you know, but it is women that pay the heavy price of losing their sons and their daughters from incessant war. So it is very important that the voice of motherhood be held universally. I wouldn't care what country you communicate with mother, their concerns would all be the same, the safety, the security, and the success of their children. So I think that is a very key element in this global initiative for the Global Peace Summit. So and we must realize that now we are in one living room. We're in one living room. We only have one planet, and we are one community now. And we'll come to the realization that we are all one people. God says in the Holy Quran that he made different nations and different tribes so that you would become familiar with each other, familiarity. And in that word familiar, I hear and I see the word family, that you are one human family. So educating us, educating each other to that fact, the mother is the first teacher, and she is essential in establishing universal world peace. So I'll stop right there, and I hope what I have shared is beneficial to all of us. I'm so grateful to partner with you on the Female Solution. This is a very presentation that you bring every week, the Female Solution. Now, people may ask, well, Kareem, you're on a female. What are you doing now? Well, Sister Naima, knowing that we are one soul,
yeah,
and we're one humanity, she included a male voice to somewhat give some balance and equality to whatever we present. And I try to limit my commentary so that I'm not over talking or overpowering the Female Solution. I love to hear from females. I'll stop right there.
Well, we're so grateful that you lend your male voice every week. And, of course, the fourth Wednesday of every month, we have a men-only discussion where we, the women, can listen and learn. And we're excited to be able to provide this platform. And we're looking to expand. This has been excellent opportunity to reach out to our global family in person here at this Global Peace Summit. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back, and we hope to be joined by our host, our co-host, and our guest, who currently is a resident of New York, but of course was born and raised in Senegal, Sheikh Moussa Dramé. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment after these messages. So we invite you to stay with us. And for those who are listening on the Female Solution, we want you also to make sure that you are able to watch us visually when possible. We certainly do appreciate the fact that we are on multiple platforms so that our listeners and viewers can participate. And we've got a caller in the studio. We're going to come back to you. And we're certainly looking forward to all of those who wish to address our global community and take advantage of our reach beyond the borders of America. So we'll be right back after these messages.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Endeavor. This is not an easy thing to do. And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we are joining our American Muslim 360 family as we await our guest, who is from Senegal. And he and his family are relocated, of course, to New York, one of the many who came to America seeking opportunities. And up until 9/11, you know, there was pretty much maybe some curiosity, but definitely not the levels of fear that there are now. And we are grateful for a chance to hear from a different perspective. And we are grateful for so many voices that have joined us this week. You know, we had, Brother Kareem, you know, we had guests on Monday and Tuesday from the motherland. We had a chance to interact first with two women who are principals of schools in Lesotho, which is in southern Africa. And then yesterday we had a chance to interact with some sisters who are journalists, and they joined us and were part of the discussion on how women find it challenging in many of the countries in which they live. And that's something that is part of the peace process. How do we heal the conflict between those of other countries and other cultures, and even in our culture where there is inequality between the sexes? So these women yesterday, we were talking about the whole health challenges with childbirth and so forth, and how attitudes toward women can have an impact on our health, and even the ways that the health industry exploits people who may not have high levels of literacy. And so that was quite a conversation, especially because we know that there are countries where women are still as if they are second-class citizens or barely citizens at all. And so this was a chance for us to share some information and get an insight from these women from Zambia who are journalists. They're working with publications. So there are a number of journalists here, reporters, media professionals with newspapers, magazines, radio stations, you know, TV stations that they work with, and all of us who are in the information business are given the charge to take the power of this experience back to our communities and change what is projected so that people will not keep living in fear that the world is falling apart and getting worse, because this peace movement is major and it is successful. And we need to know that it's successful in America so that we can participate in its success and we can be a part of the success by even changing the way we report information. Instead of feeding on fear of each other, always putting out the news about who got robbed and stabbed and killed and raped and assaulted and all those things that make people fear people who they see the image of on the news, we have an opportunity to change the impression that we have of each other. We can tell all the good news stories. We can talk about the ways that people are doing acts of kindness, programs helping the homeless, helping orphans. There are so many people that are doing good deeds. We can be just as diligent in promoting those ideas and that information and highlighting those people instead of making the worst behavior a source of fame or even infamy for people who enjoy the attention, even if it's for something doing something horrible. So we have the power to turn this whole institution around, this institution of the mass media. We can turn it around by changing our focus and the way we portray our fellow human beings. We can look for the best in people. We can seek out those stories of people who are making life better. We can highlight those. We can report those. We can send those out to our various networks so that they can be repeated, as opposed to everybody looking for the worst news and then they repeat what somebody else put out as the worst thing happening to them. This is the news. Well, it's what we're choosing to repeat, but it doesn't have to be the news. The news can be that young person who has a new invention that's going to help heal a sickness. The news can be that elderly person who started an orphanage and is taking in children. And that the news can be someone who has built a school and is educating children who may have been disadvantaged. I mean, the news can be all of these great things that are happening around the world. The news can be somebody who's come up with a way to purify water that's been contaminated. It's all these kinds of things happening in the world that we can be reporting instead of the negativity. So this is the pledge that we have made, all of us who are journalists, and we'll be feeding our good news stories to all of our network, our global network that we have created, being here in this place among those who are committed to world peace. We're committed to that, and so this has been a monumental step toward changing the mindset. So when our guest arrives, of course, we'll get a chance to see what the motivation was for even creating the Muslim media company, because this is certainly a step in the right direction when there was so much negative news that came out after 9/11. And everybody was feeling it, and it's and continues to feel it today when you go to the airport, you know, and if you got a head cover, you got the little cap on as a Muslim man, if you got a scarf on wrapped a certain way, it looked like hijab or whatever, you know, and there's a different kind of reaction even from the TSA, the people who are supposed to be doing security, because they've been conditioned to target anybody who seems to be an adherent to Islam because of 9/11. We're still going through that in the airport. So this is why it's necessary for those of us who are in the media to change the image, change the impression, change the information so we can change the behavior. On the line, and let's see if we can bring in some of the calls. And if you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Brother Kareem, you're still with us?
Yes,
okay. I got to check. So far, my internet has been good, but I have to keep checking to make sure that I haven't dropped any calls. And as I wait for the arrival of our guest this evening, and let's see, bring in our caller. All right. Area code 312-636, Grand Rising.
Admiral
thank you for
Nelson
joining.
Bay.
Yes, thank you for joining us. Mr.
Indeed.
Nelson, we appreciate you so very much. And
yes, brother from Senegal, the Sheikh Moussa. What is his last name?
Dramé.
Dramemeh.
And you can probably even look up his organization. Again,
okay, I wrote it down.
As well as New York.
Yes. I'm going to say hello to my neighbor, whom I've known forever. How you doing there, Brother Mark? This is my new business card.
And
I'm Trump's Veep. This is my new business card.
And
love you guys,
one of the things, that we are looking to do is establish ongoing connections to those who are in the media in other countries, because we can easily send them our news as well as make sure that they send us their news. And we can hear directly from the people who live in those places. And this is what we want to be able to do to prevent disinformation from other sources. I don't have to guess about what's happening in Senegal if I've got somebody who has a news organization that's giving me the news directly. I don't have to depend on CNN for their spin. I can listen directly to someone reporting. So,
any questions, comments for me to respond to?
Yes, that's Sheikh Moussa Dramé, spelled Dramemeh, if you want to Google him. And
okay.
That will give you an opportunity to see what kind of work he has been doing. They started their media company right after 9/11. In response to the negative reporting and many of the hostile responses of the public. And you can imagine how intense it was in New York, because we felt it everywhere, even in the Midwest here in Chicago, and there was so much fear afterwards. And so he wanted to make sure that his family and community were properly understood, and that was his impetus for creating the media company that he started.
You know, what I would say to him is there is a building across from the Jacob Javits Center to be built on that site, the Affirmation Tower, which is to be built by, it's to be the largest or the tallest skyscraper anywhere in the country, really anywhere in the world, 1,664 feet tall. It has an architectural style which to me is god-awful terrible. I want to get in contact with the guy who's the number one key person associated with it, Roy Donahue Peebles Jr., and tell him my vision for it. And what I want to do, which will be entirely for residential use, and it's going to be the first, and it's going to, expressly, at least ostensibly, it's going to accommodate the people coming in from, Mexico for the immigrants. And we're going to do that for Chicago. We're going to do it for Houston, Texas. We're going to do it for Denver, Colorado, and Los Angeles. Because those are alpha cities. And then just north of Houston, Texas, they're building a city for immigrants. And they recognize that who works the land, that owns the land. It's like La Tierra, something La Tierra. It's like the land belongs to those who work the land. That's what they say in Mexico and other Spanish-speaking countries. And, you know, people coming in from north of the border, Mexico, they want to make sure they can live here safely. I say they should be legal and vetted before they can expect to live here any extended period of time, because my president, Donald Trump, means to deport most of them. Notwithstanding that, I'm calling it, for me anyway, for my purpose anyway, the Affirmation Tower Project. The tallest one is going to be in New York City, 1,664 feet tall. One in Chicago is going to be 1,555 feet tall. In Los Angeles, the same height, 1,555, which is the year of our sojourn, in North America. Or maybe we'll even make it 1,619 feet tall. Anyway, on all of them is going to be a pyramidium, like atop the Washington Monument, which is a 7x5 ratio, and it's going to be 55.5 meters on the square. That's how wide the building's going to be. That's how tall all of the Affirmation Towers are going to be, because they're all going to have 28 units per floor, and each floor is going to be 9 feet, 9 inches tall. You see?
Well, you know, I think that you probably, I think you probably will get an opportunity to speak with some of the people in New York. Matter of fact, just hold that thought when our guest arrives. And we're going to put you in touch with him, because I think that that's an endeavor that they will probably be interested in. And maybe someone such as the Sheikh, who will be joining us shortly, perhaps that's a story that he can write in his publications and get city officials to meet with you and talk about that. This is a time where we need solutions, and we appreciate you for considering solutions. I understand that New York has a very serious homeless population. They have a very serious conflict with the immigrants that have been thrust upon them, the same as have been done here in Chicago. They're in Chicago. So anybody with an idea of how to provide some decent housing so that the populations are not in conflict, I'm sure that would be much appreciated. We've got a comment from our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda. Thank you so much. She says, grand rising. Beautiful. Thank you so much. She says, yes, I'm traveling. And she says, be sure and bring back some heat from South Korea. Well, it rained today. So it wasn't real. It wasn't real warm, but it was decent. But one thing we did do today, we went to the Korean War Memorial. And this is a building that gives the whole history of the wars that have been going on in with Korea and China, Korea and Japan, and you know, Korea and the Korean War, with that whole conflict, which led to the division of North and South Korea in a way that's still causing a lot of pain today. And what tends to happen with Americans is that we get goaded into going to war over some vague notion of, most of the time, the conflict has nothing to do with anything other than somebody's economic agenda. And we get duped into going to murder people. That's all war is, mass murder. We get duped into it over and over again. And then when soldiers get overseas, they discover that the issue the people are fighting for is a legitimate issue, but they need to handle it themselves, and Americans didn't need to be taking sides because of their financial interests and using people to gain their financial control of other people's land. So now that we are aware in today's time, after the Vietnam War, I think that kind of pulled the cover off of things, people aren't as gullible. So this is why that whole 9/11 attack, it brought us back to the gullibility that we had before, and being sent to a country that the conflict was not over protecting freedom and all of the other patriotic jargon. And because Americans are so lacking in knowledge of geography, they could be sent to lands that had nothing to do with the place where the people were who were reportedly responsible for the terrorist attack. So, I mean, that's a whole show in itself, the political agenda behind going into Afghanistan and all these other places that didn't have any weapons of war. So this trip here is about us having the courage to say no. The citizens having the courage to say no when those who have an economic agenda decide to create a war to further their economic agenda and traumatize people by making them go and murder people who've done nothing to them, by whipping up their sentiment of anger and hatred and fear. And this is what was done in so many instances. And so now we're saying no more. It's time to stop. We're not going to continue to go and kill people for reasons that make no sense. And we're spreading this message around the world. We're getting to know each other as human beings, as friends, as family, so that we will not, again, be duped into going to kill for reasons that have nothing to do with the well-being of others. So before we take a break, Lorraine, do you have any calls or do you have a comment you'd like to make?
Yes, I do have a comment. You know, there's a belief that Americans are the most illiterate when it comes to world politics. World politics. Most of them are not aware of what takes place on the international scene. You know, Almighty God says in the Quran that oppression to oppress a human being is worse than outright slaughter. And it depends on which side you're looking at. Matter of fact, the African National Congress, the ANC, was headed by Nelson Mandela and others. They were designated a terrorist group. They were designated a terrorist group. And it's just recently that Nelson Mandela has been, that his name has been removed from a terrorist, the list of terrorists in this country. And you're so correct that usually wars are fought. Let me say this, it's for corporate interest. Corporate interest to exploit the resources of other nations and other people on the earth. Greed is at the heart of it. And the desire for power. They aren't saying it enough. But the CIA and intelligence agencies of this country, the greatest terrorist threat to this nation is white nationalism, white supremacists. They are a threat to democracy in this country. But I don't see an all-out effort to dismantle them as was done to the Black Panthers that have been, they were infiltrated, decimated, done away with. It was an all-out effort by the FBI in this country. So opinion makers, I'm so grateful that you mentioned the media. Is one thing Trump told a truth. And although he utilizes the problem that he identified as fake news. So the media, it shapes the opinion of not just American citizens, but around this world. But we are grateful to know that there are large groups of human beings that have come together and are working toward world peace. They are making progress, but you won't hear that announced over the major networks. There are great strides being made along the line of bringing humanity together. There's a Catholic group called the Focolare. It was began by a nun, Ellen Dugan, and they preach unconditional love around them. We as Muslims are closely associated with them. We work hand in hand with them. The idea of unconditional love and world, they are making great progress, but we don't expect to hear that from CNN, ABC, all of these media giants that are corporately owned. So goodness is growing on the earth. They only display violence, the negative side of humanity. But we have an obligation, of no matter what side of our media is, to actually propagate and say the progress that is being made among human beings on this earth, so that we're educating each other that peace is achievable. And I want to say that the Global Peace Summit is held every year. And I would like I'm quite sure that if they issue a progress report, we would be most surprised at the progress that they are making and other groups for global peace initiative on the earth. Praise be to Almighty God. So, you know, we to stop seeing each other as different, We're all human beings. And you have a key statement, one of your motto, Sister Naima, is that if we are willing to share, willing to share the resources, the human and material resources on this earth that we share with each other, that will, inshallah, God willing, curtail the need of war to take another person's resources and to oppress another human being. To oppress, they wonder what prompted 9/11. Most of Americans are not aware of what is happening in occupied Palestine. Between the Palestinian and Israeli conflict. So I encourage us to educate ourselves so we can be on the right side of history and on the right side of liberation. In South Africa, we celebrate the reconciliation summits that they have. But at the same time, the majority of the living condition of melanated Africans have not changed. They're still living in shanty towns, and working as slave labor. So, all right, you can vote. But what about sharing the wealth? What about sharing the resources? So I'll stop right there. We have to look at the resources and what is prompting this competition to take the wealth of other people. That the willingness to share is, I believe, is the answer. And that we are all in this global community together. And we need one another. Can we imagine, you know, let me say this, the Muslims are actually in the fabric of America right now.
Yeah.
There are Muslims in the White House.
Yeah.
And don't speak of the medical field. The medical field, the surgeons, the biologists, you name it. We are here. And we are a fabric of this country. And we are sharing the best of ourselves with America and the world. So this idea of all Muslims are terrorists, but when you get your medical checkup, Fatima Abdullah may be carrying out that medical checkup.
That's right. That's right.
So we are human beings, and we care for the whole, we care for each other. That has to be publicized. That has to be made known. We need to educate the population of this earth as concerning the healthy, good Christians with their undying love. Their undying love. These are wonderful people, the true Christians that love in spite of, you know?
Yeah.
So we must value each other. And I thank God for this peace summit that's being held in Korea. Goodness is growing on the earth. It has to be publicized.
Yeah.
We have to educate.
Absolutely. Publicize and educate. Well, all right. We got to take one more break. We'll actually take two more breaks. We'll take a break, and then we'll come right back and We invite you to call in 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. Do you still feel nervous about terrorism and people who are overseas? And are you still anxious when so-called foreigners come to your community? Are you fearful of people who speak another language or have another culture or are in another religion? Do you feel that Americans need to all be English-speaking Christians? And are you nervous when you hear the sound of a foreign language being spoken? I remember someone was hearing the sound of the azan, the call to prayer, and he said, oh, that's that terrorist sound. And so that's what has happened to an entire religion. It's been typecast as something to be feared. How were you affected by that?
You know, if I may, concerning the immigration situation.
Yes.
The past president labeled the migrant as thieves, criminals, purveyors of drugs, and all of that. But the true situation of the matter is let's take the country of Guatemala. There's a huge gang population down there. A huge violent gang and drug cartel in Guatemala.
Yes.
And they are threatening the citizens of Guatemala. They are forcing young men to join in the gang activity. So the parents of Guatemala take the huge risk, the huge long-trek risk of bringing their children from out of that country to the United States of America. They are victims of human suffering. And let me say this. I'm seeing that there's a situation being created between the African-American and the migrants that are coming to this country. They have an idea of, yes, they are taking your jobs and all of that. But we should not fall victim to that. If anyone should be at the forefront of alleviating human suffering and addressing the situation of human suffering, it should be the African American. For we have no one on this earth have the level of human suffering that we have come through. So we should be at the forefront of promoting human freedom, human liberation, and not allow ourselves to be used against another suffering people.
That's
we should
right.
be at the forefront of global human rights.
Yes, we should, because we know what it feels like. You're right, right. We're going to take this next break and come right back. And, of course, give you all a chance to call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back after these messages.
I have a caller here.
All
right. On the M360 board, L312, we should open your mic after the important public service announcement.
All right. Stay with us.
Black mom. Notice it was simple. We're going to be coming every week sharing our tests and our faith as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, network and faithful. We'll talk about it all. Faith, politics, economics, and everything from
Female Solution Line. And thank you all so much for all of your patience. You know, we always need to make adjustments when things happen. So, yes, go ahead with your caller, and then 773-737, we're coming to you after that.
Okay. 313-882, I believe. This is Minister Floyd Thomas. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Thank you. We're here on Yad Shalom. That means we are one in God. And welcome back to you and the Female Solution being the world's greatest blog, radio, TV station in the nation. Yes, sir. You are wanted and you are needed. And most of all, I know that you are appointed and you're chosen. Brother Kareem, I want to start out with this here in terms of you are correct and exact. We are, need to be at the forefront because we are the fathers and the mothers of all civilization as a people. So I'm going to start out with it like this. In a fundraising opportunity, unlimited and unstoppable as an entrepreneur, Black Love Matters too. And this is in the form of a black and white T-shirt. And back, that was on the front, it says, we hold ourselves accountable for the conditions of our community. Support our efforts as we exercise change. And I heard you mention, too, Sister Naima, we love you, and Allah loves you more. However, you made the statement of change. And we must change as a people. We must change from doing wrong to do it right. And most of us have fell short, if not all of us, of the glory of God. And we must change from doing things wrong for us, violence and robbing, stealing and killing and looting and hijacking. You know, we have to change from all of that wrong, evil, negative thing and change it into the positive ways of God and the people, which is using PMA. And we ain't going nowhere without love because God is love and God is a way of life. All praise is due to Allah. Allah, all of our leaders, the Mayor Ward Dean Muhammad, and from the original authentic teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon our ancestors, all of our ancestors, and that's forever. We are promoting freedom, justice, equality, and economics, and being on top. And because there's no spot that God is not. And we must continue to promote plump. Because Mayor Washington said we must plump the whole community. So we are plumping it up in peace, love, unity, marketing people. And Brother Kareem, I do need you to get in touch with me ASAP at this number, 312-882.
Yeah, he had her on the screen, so he can see it.
And Brother Obadiah, yeah. Kofi, too, you know.
Yeah.
And, yes, I need you all to get in touch with me. I've been trying to meet you, too, Sister Naima.
Well, now you know why I'm not reachable, because I'm not in the state. Yeah, I've been out the country. But, you know, Minister Plump, I'm glad that you made those points. I'm glad you made those points because one of the challenges that we've had here in the States, you know, when people talk about ending war and world peace and we're thinking, yeah, well, they're talking about that war stuff, but we got problems with this crime. Well, it's all the same thing, like you just said. The whole thing has to do with how we're treating each other. So we're dealing with some major issues with gun violence. So it's the same thing as somebody in a war-torn country where your children are getting shot at and our children are getting shot at. So the problem is the same, and people see it as a foreign issue when we talk about war because there isn't a war being fought on American soil that we identify as war. But in fact, there is a war happening. There's this urban warfare that's going on between street organizations, between people who have and people who have not, those who feel like they have to steal because they don't have money. So all of it is it's the same issue,
and you know,
the unkindness of each other and the inequality of our economic system that makes people feel like they have to take by force because we won't share. So you're right, Minister Plump. It's all the same issue. We gotta fight it the same way.
I want to add all lives matter.
Yes.
You know, because Allah is God, and he created every race of them, every nationality, and every man, woman, and child. Remember in the music they used to say, brothers going to work it out? It's going to be brothers and sisters, men, women, and children going to work it out in order that we might have our salvation in a reality of truth. And truth means all lives matter.
That's absolutely right.
Because he created every one of us. And it's a miracle that I'm here today. So I have no fear because Trump is here. And the greatest thing I can do is serve God and help my people and save the children.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Well, we thank you so much. We appreciate you so much. And thanks for calling. As always, we appreciate your positive energy. And we're going to go to the next caller here on the female solution line. And that's 773-737. And
well,
I believe, we've got wisdom.
Yes, hallelujah greetings. Yes, hallelujah greetings, global transformers. Wa O'en Yah Shalom and Assalamu Alaikum. I'm Mama G in Chicago, Grand Rising. It is written in the Black History Bible book, whose hero is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Society has taught the descendants of slaves to love thy neighbor instead of thyself. And after 246 years of being a movable property thing called chattel, followed by 88 years of Jim Crow genocide segregation laws, to keep the status of the Negro down, Negro down, Negro down, a name that was given by the founding fathers of the transatlantic slave trade because it meant black in Spanish. It does not say keep everybody down. It was very clear. And keep the status of the Negro down, and they talked about it in 1954 and have never, when they discovered that the children, 6-year-olds, had heart, mind, subjugated race, poverty damage, that has continued in redlining, in massive school closings, in disproportionate arrests, that even the United Nations and the police, don't forget that police killings of black men and boys, and these three things, the United Nations came to Chicago and condemned, and yet they continue. Now, all of a sudden, Barbara Jordan, she chaired the Immigration Reform Committee under President Bill Clinton, so you know how long ago that was, and she said that immigration would hurt Negro blacks because they would be competing for the same low-skilled job. Was she correct about that? But they are passing laws, like they passed 345 years of laws to keep the status of the Negro down, because after 1954, it wasn't until 1965, and after marching and protesting and boycotting and our children bombed in churches, that they even until 1965, when we got the right to vote, that got us back to where we were in 1865, when we had United States citizens. Then they come in, and they, 11 years, so this is why I'm getting the 345 years, in case somebody want to do the math, 345 years of federal laws against us as a group, and now you are allowing these other people passing laws to make them above the law. They can break into the country and without a passport. We got to have a passport to go to Ghana. But they can break into the country, bring their children in, and the President Barack Obama rewarded the children of these border breakers by giving them a Reparations Dream Act of D, development, R, release, E, education, free to graduate school for who? A, aliens, non-citizen, minors under the age of 31, and you're over 30 years old, but you're calling yourself a minor. Amnesty from any crime that's not federal, and exemption from student loans and student debt that American citizens and children and students are drowning in. And you are making these laws bilingual preferred when we, American English spoken with an Ebonic accent, is the only language we have. That is our mother tongue language. And to be pushed around in your own country by other people because they are seeking a better life. You have always sought a better life, but you are without sanctuary. We have nowhere to go. And at the end of the day, I want to know why, we're not all the same. And we need to be made whole before you behold the entire planet Earth and not fix us who are broken. And I say this to you, if you hit my car, I might not want to ride around in a raggedy car, so I will go and fix that raggedy car, but I'm going to go back to you and get my reimbursement because you broke it. You fix it. And all I'm saying is, and I want to know why you don't agree, or if you do agree, doesn't charity begin at home?
Well, Mama D, you know, you have broached a subject that has been a large part of the disagreement, especially what's happening here, you know, happening in Chicago with, and I understand New York has the same issue with being overwhelmed with people who have just come, and the government is finding all kinds of ways to help them, and people are saying, what about the indigenous populations that have been suffering? How can you not have resources for them? This is the big challenge that we have, again, as a global family. It can't be an either or. Either we're going to help them or we're going to help the others. Either we're going to fix the broken among this population or we're going to fix the broken among the other population. It can't be an either or where we allow ourselves to be pitted against each other, because that also is a tactic where if you have both people who are suffering pitted against each other for supposed limited resources, then we never turn to the ones who are creating the problem in the first place by making the resources limited when they really are not. There's a problem that people have
limited, but they are limited resources.
Well, that's the thing. They really aren't, Mama D, and that's one of the things we got to look at.
But
think about this, Mama D. There's enough. There is enough earth to feed everybody, it's being made limited.
If I break in your house, it has little to do with pitting against each other. You broke in my house. You were wrong. There are right ways to enter into anybody's country. You are going to Korea. You had to have a passport to get in there. They didn't just let you break in with your family and your baggage. And if that's one thing, but these people that are breaking in, they are attacking the police in the police stations. And the police can do nothing with their bulletproof belts and their guns and their stun guns and their jailhouse, because these people are above the law. They are lawless.
Okay.
They have beaten up senior citizens. And all I'm saying is this. You got to take care of your family. Don't be like Lot. When the homosexual surrounded his house and everything, and he said, oh, don't mess with these strangers that I'm giving sanctuary to, but I got two virgin daughters here. You can have them. Lot was out of order.
Hold on, Mama D. Just one moment. Let me break this down in a way that you can see it. Now, remember when slavery was legal and people were escaping enslavement and going north, and some of them going to Canada to escape enslavement. Now, there was the same argument that you're giving right now. There were people who were not sure what was the ethically correct thing to do. Should they assist these people who were escaping enslavement and brutality and help them get to the north or get to a northern city where slavery was not legal? Or should they return the so-called property of those enslavers who had, according to their thoughts, rightfully purchased them?
You know what they did?
So,
they passed a fugitive
slave law. So you have people feeling
law.
Like the right thing to do. Wait
they
a minute,
passed
I
a fugitive.
I want our listeners to hear this. Because I want our listeners to hear this. I want you to listen.
Oh,
there
I heard
were people
it, but they passed
like
a
the
fugitive
right thing
slave
to
law
do.
That said you couldn't
the, they felt
be safe
like the right thing to do
to
ethically was to send people back.
They passed the law that said you cannot be safe if you run away. It was a fugitive slave law. There was no place that you could run that they would not return you back to your slave owner. Plus, they passed another law called the Dred Scott decision, and it said that blacks had no rights whether they were emancipated or not. So not even
right. So now,
that
so now,
emancipation proclamation. It did not apply because a president cannot overturn a Supreme Court decision. And the Supreme Court decision of 1857 said you blacks have no rights whether they're emancipated or not. And so
that's right. That was the law.
That's the 13th Amendment.
That was the law.
But what I'm saying to you is, it is morally wrong for you to not take care of your household while you take care of the globe. And our mayor, this is a global thing, but he's not taking care of the community of Inglewood. And yet we cannot save the world if we cannot save our household and the people that are in it. Love thy neighbor as thyself, not instead of thyself. And just like they pass laws to keep us down, they are passing laws to keep these border breakers, these invaders, these illegals into our homes. And we are starving as a people who've never been made home. And that is fundamentally unfair before man and God. Your charity
hold on just 1 second. I'm going to ask one more question, and then I got to take the next caller. So based on all you've said, the laws that were passed that said, you know, the Dred Scott laws, whites, you know, the blacks have no rights, the whites are bound to respect and all of that. Based on that reality, was then those people who chose to return the escaped people who had been enslaved, those who returned them to the enslavers, were they then doing the morally correct thing? And were those who were helping them escape to Canada or who were housing them while they escaped, were they then morally incorrect? What do you have to say about that? And then we're going
to
take the next call.
I'll be glad to answer
Which one
when
was morally incorrect?
You're comparing apples with oranges. This was our homeland. And slavery, like John Brown said, is wrong to buy people, to brutalize them. It was wrong. And the North was saying it was wrong. This was within the United States. It was not coming, getting people from another country, allowing them to break in. So we cannot compare apples with oranges, but we have to take care, America has to take care of what the broken people that she's got here on her own born land being treated like exile while other people are leapfrogging in, being put above the law and brutalizing citizens that are here. What kind of justice before man or God is that? That is
okay,
the most shameful thing
this country has
ever done.
Okay, but we got your point of view. Thanks so much for weighing in, because I think that is an issue that we got to look at. Because is there a global standard of how you treat people? Now, the many who have fled from Venezuela and are now roaming the streets of America, homeless, and some of them, as you mentioned, are committing crime, because that happens. You know, you have people who are among people who are criminals, and everybody's got that element. But what is the ethically, morally correct thing to do if people are fleeing where it is dangerous for them to live and where they're being persecuted or neglected or whatever the case may be? They're fleeing for their lives. It morally correct to give them sanctuary, even if your current population is also suffering, or is it morally correct to send them back where they could be killed or further brutalized? What is the morally correct thing to do? And this is a good time to have this conversation, because here we are in a place where the global family of humanity has gathered, representatives have gathered to talk about what is morally correct in the way we treat each other so that we are not fighting each other. What is the morally correct thing to do? And what happens, the reason why we end up in conflict is because someone with an economic agenda gives the impression that resources are limited, when in fact they are not. Look at how many billionaires we have hoarding things and not make, look at how many empty buildings we have that the bankers and real estate developers and all the people who own properties that are just vacant are not allowing the homeless and the jobless to live in. We don't have limited resources. We have limited ethics, limited moral values. That's where the limit is, because if we really had as our agenda the right treatment and the well-being of everybody, there would be no problem. We just give people what they need. It wouldn't be as us versus them. Just give people what they need. Give them the resources they need to help themselves. And as you said, help make them whole. We can do that if we had a mind to do it. And that's what this conference is all about. You can't have peace as long as you have somebody suffering. So we have to alleviate the suffering of all people. It's not a us versus them or a us or them. Everybody has a right to live in peace and share in the prosperity that Earth has provided for all of us. And it's not limited. The only problem that makes it appear limited is those who refuse to share. So let me take another caller, and Kareem, let me know if you've got another call on your line. Area code 312-882. Don't believe her from you yet. Give us your name and you're calling from and your comment.
Way on Yah Shalom. Assalamu alaikum. Well, yes, Minister Clump again. I wanted to share the thought that we have launched the Million Man March, the Million Family March, and the Million Fathers March.
What we're going to do next week, Minister Clump, I'll invite you on for the men-only discussion, and you can kind of get more into that, because I think that whole Million Man March, I think that was a very powerful thing that was done, that men had a chance to take responsibility for some of the hurt that was caused and made a pledge to change themselves so that their families could then heal from the hurt. So we want you all to talk about more of that. And next week is Kareem's men-only discussion. So it's always some aspect of how men can take responsibility for helping to heal the society. So we look forward to those comments. Yes, Kareem, go right ahead.
Yes. The subject matter that we want to discuss in the men-only conversation is this. Almighty God has said that men are the protector and maintainers of the female. I wanted to have a discussion on the protect side of that. That we are able to protect the female. How are we functioning in that area? And if so, share that with us.
Yes, I
the
think
protection
that
of the female.
I think that would be a good conversation.
A woman was hit in the face with a brick, and no one moved. No one moved
that.
To defend her.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll stop right there.
Yeah. So, Minister Plump, we're looking forward to your comments. I remember that so many men came back inspired from that march, and some things were established, some new things changed. But then somehow we got right back to, like what Brother Kareem has just mentioned, you know, the apathy, the abuse. Same thing happened with the woman that was attacked at a restaurant right near where I live, and everybody saw what happened. Her son went out to the car and got the gun and shot the man, and first the police arrested her and held her and her son, and then they let her go, because they saw the video of how she was attacked, beaten in the face. So what happened to the men that are supposed to protect the women? So these are the things that keep us from having the kind of world peace that we talk about. the hostility between men and women, the lack of trust between men and women, and then we've got a whole issue of mistrust between people of different nations, people who are maybe fleeing a difficult condition and have to even go to another country and not be welcomed by those who feel like, look, go back where you came from. We already got problems. That's a real, I mean, what Mama D was saying, that's a real feeling that a lot of people have. But what is the highest ethical position? This is what HWPL has been about for these last 3 days here in Seoul, South Korea, is helping us to agree to a higher ethical standard of humanity. So our guest for tonight had some difficulties, but we're going to invite him back. He is a resident of New York, and his media organization, which operates both in New York and in Senegal, will be part of that network of journalists and media companies that are bringing a new thought to help us see each other differently and respond to each other differently. And perhaps we can see the solution, even though it seems insurmountable, of people needing help and coming to those who may feel like they have nothing to give, because there is enough. Earth has given us enough for everybody to survive and thrive. What do we always say? The only thing we need to do is share. So we're going to be bringing you the stories of people who are sharing, the people who are establishing schools and hospitals, people who are taking care of the orphaned and the elderly, people who are giving new opportunities for those who have had to flee their countries, people who are giving healing and help for those who may be struggling with addiction and may have economic distress. We're going to be sharing the stories of people who are bringing solutions to the human family so that we're not pitted against each other, feeling like the resources are limited, so we can't share. We can't help you. I can't help you. I can't help myself. Yes, we can. Because this is the higher consciousness, spirit of the Creator. And this is why HWPL speaks of heavenly culture, world peace, restoration of life. You know, we have, and I know we've got to get ready to go, but we have on our news network, On Air, which is onaireverywhere.com, we have a radio TV guide, an internet radio TV guide to the many different YouTube channels and Facebook pages and podcasts, where people are sharing stories of enlightenment. And many of them, they're sharing stories of people who have had what's called an NDE, a near-death experience, where they've literally died and been resuscitated in some kind of way and come back. And during the time of their death, when they were on the other side, they experienced heaven. And they spoke of it as a place where there's only love. And they saw their relatives who had transitioned, who had crossed over. And there was no judgment in the sense of an angry God, but there was judgment in they were able to see how they hurt people. And they were the judge of themselves because they saw how their actions hurt others. And that's what changed their heart. So that's what heaven is like. There is only love, but you correct yourself when you can see clearly how your unkind behavior is hurting others. And you know that ultimately when you hurt others, you hurt yourself. So a heavenly culture is one in which we are kind and compassionate with each other. And there's only love for each other. And when we can create that within ourselves, we will manifest it in our society. It is possible. And that's why we're here in Seoul, South Korea, with like-minded people from all over the world. Because we are creating a heavenly culture, world peace, and a restoration of light. And we want you all to, afternoon, of course, our Monday Morning Mindfulness host Zelda Speaks of HLN TV show, the Higher Learning Network, says, thanks for sharing this World Peace Summit by HWPL. It's a great point for our children to learn today while showcasing their skills at Betty Shabazz International School podcast training today. And they'll be broadcasting live at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we want you to listen in and call in and be a part of that show at youtube.com/higherlearningtvshow. She says, thanks for sharing. And we're going to have a guest on this afternoon at 2 o'clock who is working with the Peace Education Program. It's a way of teaching children how to live in peace. And we're very serious about changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. And we're going to do it through changing the way we raise our children. So tune on in to the Higher Learning Network this afternoon, 2 o'clock. The students at Betty Shabazz International Charter School will be live on Blog Talk Radio and on the Higher Learning Network. And we're going to share with them peace education. 773-450, we got 30 seconds. Go right ahead with your comment before we go.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, it's really interesting. As a world traveler, black people are the essence of the world. Everybody comes from us. I've noticed locally when I see immigrants, they're all cool with me. But then I started to know their languages and all this type of stuff. There's some familiarity. Plus, I'm just the type of person, why not turn the situation around? They brought them here to push us out of the way, but if we join together, we can really push them out the way. Nobody ever thought of that. See, the
all right.
Set up.
Well, let's join together.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim, of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.